Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. His patients call him Dr. Deutschman. Family and friends call him Kyle. And his passion for music has inherited him the name Kyle Deutsch. Kyle started his music career learning to play guitar at the end of junior school, singing casually here and there, but he soon began to realize his true potential. To take his passion for music more seriously, he began performing at acoustic sessions in cafes and restaurants, really coming into his own as a local musician. In 2014, he entered South African Idol Season 10, where he won the hearts of the viewers, placing fifth. Hot off the mark, he burst onto the local and international music scene with a rapidly increasing following, creating hit after hit, collaborating with some of Africa's biggest artists and producers to date, including Casper Neuvest, Chicana, Questa, Kelly Kumalo, Destruction Boys, and Sketchy Bongo, to name a few. He's been nominated and won numerous awards over the years. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Kyle Deutsch. Kyle, tell me, where do we find you in the world? What's happening in your life and how are you doing?
I am in Durban, South Africa, Morningside. We're starting to get into summer, so things are starting to heat up. And I'm grateful. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm all good, all good, all good. So now let's take it all the way to the very beginning. Tell us about your musical journey.
For me personally, my musical journey started when I started learning or listening with my parents. My parents had records or tape decks and then CDs playing constantly. Now they've gone back to records this current age, but they've had music playing throughout my life, which has been quite an amazing experience. I'd say my relationship with music started there, and then I started learning to play guitar. Well, my mom actually took me to go get a guitar when I was younger, and then they said my fingers were too small, so she ended up getting a mini guitar that I just carried around the house. And then I picked up a guitar again, like grade 9, well then it was standard 6, standard 7, and then so that was when I started to learn guitar in break sessions. Used to jam, play around with like at Bry's, and friends would meet up. I then joined the church worship team. I was leading worship for a while, and then I entered Idols and then started making my own music and recording my own music properly. Then started releasing my own music and enjoying that whole creative process that has become so much easier these days. And where we are now, I suppose.
So let's unpack a few of those things. First of all, why the guitar? What appealed to you about the guitar at a young age?
I don't know, bro. I actually wish I had learned the keys.
Okay.
To be completely honest, I'd way prefer to be able to be... I'm not like brilliant on guitar even, but it is I think it's an easy instrument. It's an instrument that you can travel around. It doesn't require power to play. It's a go-to. It's a music stand.
You mentioned Idols. Tell us more about that experience and that journey.
The first time I went, there was a friend of mine. He said, Kyle, you can sing. Yeah, he's like, Kyle, you can sing if you go to if I go to Idols, will you go? And this guy was terrible. So anyone might be saying, because he does, but he is always theatrical and but he can't sing. Yeah. So then he's like, I told him, hey bro, the auditions are tomorrow. I'm actually talking around to someone, one or two people around us were going. So he looked at me, he says, well then I'll go with you if you're going. And then he looked at the other person and he was like, well, if you're going, then I'll come stand in the queue with you and I'll just go with you. And then I was like, yeah, whatever. And then he looked at me and he's like, that means you have to come. Like, that means you have to come with us. Well. And I was like, So then I like patched together a song. And then I remember we stayed in the queue for like 3 or 4 hours. And he was like, just before he went inside, I was like, what are you going to sing? He says, I don't know. He still had no idea what he was going to sing. I think he ended up singing Flying Without Wings by Westlife or
Yeah,
something like that. And it must have gone terribly. And then I ended up going through to the top, like, I don't know, it was the top 100 that year. And it was just, it was fun, like, for me. I don't know, I was a bit older, I was just starting chiropractic. So I'd done the 6-year course, I was playing football, and I was playing beach for fun at the time. And I was like, okay, cool, this is almost like a holiday kind of thing. You know, we went to Sun City for a week, and then that went cool. And then I got knocked out at the top 32. And then when I went through that, I was like, okay, cool. And I got a few interesting interactions with some of the contestants there who I were like, flip, these looks brilliant. And that's their thoughts. And this is how it's like, I got to learn a bit about the industry. And then when we came back home after that, I ended up meeting up with Yuvir Singh, Sketchy Bongo, and A1 Wolf, Arnold Phillips, and turned out we all went to Westville. And so we started to make some music together and just enjoy the creative process together. And then we started writing songs, and we were like, hey, these are actually starting, I mean, I've grown up listening to music, these songs are starting to sound like something that we could push play on, and no one's going to be like, hey, where's this, like, why does this sound like it's not professional? You know, like, so we're getting to that level, and I was like, okay, cool, guys, I entered this thing, Idols, like, should I go back and, like, let's see, because once you get into a serious competition like that and you start to treat it as something that you can use to promote a brand name, like, you end up using, if we worked out what was spent on advertising for my brand by entering and being involved in a show like that, and I was like, okay, cool, then once we finish that, we can start releasing music, and people are going to, like, they have to listen, and they have to come with a feedback, which we feel would be positive, you know, because they've already become accustomed to me singing other people's music. We've grown support that way. You're going to see Kyle Deitch every week on your TV, and then he comes out with music, and then you start comparing to him, like, how did the winner of Idols do? Now let's talk about just another guy who was on Idols, who's released some music. This is what it sounds like. And it, for me, it was a way into the industry for me and those who were trying to break in at the same time, to be able to, like, almost fast track our career into a point where the consumer is like, okay, cool, let's give it a listen. And then if it's good enough, they decide whether they want to carry on listening or keep supporting.
You, when you collaborate and write music, is it, I know you mentioned Sketchy Bongo and a couple of other artists, do you still collaborate with the same artists? Is it a soul collaboration now, in the sense that it's just yourself writing or creating music, or is it always a collaborative process with other artists?
It's all of the above. Work with different producers. It depends where you are in the world, who you're able to come in contact with. Are you doing it virtually? Are you doing writing your tracks in studio? Do you start the beat right at the same time that you arrive in the studio? Is it something you're bringing from someone else? Is it songs that you're reworking? Are you starting on, or have you written this thing on guitar and then now you're reworking it into how you want it to be audibly? It's like, I use all of those creative strategies.
And do you prefer collaborating or doing it by yourself? Which is easier, and which do you prefer?
I'm never going to, as things stand, I'm not able to get, do a mix and full mix and master creation by myself.
Okay.
I would say that I would trust to be on the standard. So it's definitely going to be creativity. I've been a team, I grew up playing football, and I can tell you that you're definitely better with, like, not by yourself.
Okay.
when it comes to this process. I mean,
okay.
you want how many ears in the world to love it. The more, I think, like, the more that it's palatably believed in by the team around you, the more success a record should have.
Cool,
if it's you by yourself going, this is awesome, it's like... How many more people do you have to convince that it's cool? You know,
I'm with you. From 0 minutes to a 3 or 4 minute or 5 minute track, What is that process for you? I know you collaborate with other artists, but do you approach it different each time, or do you always go with an intention of what you want to write about?
So let's say, I don't know, do you want to give me a scenario then, seeing as I use all the different stuff, like difference, it's different on every occasion,
yes,
even in that sense. So maybe you want to give me a scenario and then I'll tell you how I break it down.
Sure. So when you go into the studio, say with, for example, Sketchy Bongo,
yeah,
do you go in with intention, okay, you guys are going to write about this or this specific topic, or is it a free flow and organic process?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that the music and the content need to marry. So it's like you can't, like, I almost want to take the music and picture it visually and say, okay, cool, this music is like audibly giving me this sort of sensation. And then I try and marry those two together and be like, okay, cool. For all night, it's like bam, 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 bam. And I walked into the studio, Sketchy's playing like this. Yeah, and I was like, okay, cool. What the hell am I? He's like, bro, are you ready to jump on the mic? He's like, you've got about 30 seconds. I'm going to be done with this little section here, and you must just go record something. So I was like, flip, okay, cool. And I'm going, dang. And I'm like, I get lost in a crazy time with you. Yeah, because it feels like this guy is just like, he's seeing all the trumpets around him, and I start to visually depict the song, and then it's like, and then this party's going to go on all night now. So I end up freestyling. He's like, okay, cool, just go sing. And I ended up freestyling till the end of the chorus. And then I was like, okay, cool. He's like, yeah, that's enough. For that particular song, it was a journey like that. But usually creative these days, I find for myself specifically, is I'll make sure that if I'm going to start working on a song, that I'm not involved with the creation of from the beginning of the beat, is to play it for the first time with the mic open, so that I can record the initial melodies that come to mind. I'm not sitting on it and dwelling on a beat and then breaking it down into something that I can carry with me all the time and then like piece together storyline, or I don't write first and then just try and sing those words in a melody that fits with this beat kind of thing. I'm more of like, what is it forcing me to sing? And then I like to try and get those utterances out and then piece the melody and the lyrical content with that.
That's interesting, I suppose, because the more it's in your brain and the more you think about it, the more there's that element of, I don't know, you know, whenever the mind kicks in, there's that doubt. There's that, oh, is it good enough? Is it this? So by forcing yourself in that way, it just allows you to say, okay, let's just be in the unconscious present moment and let's just a free flow.
Yeah, that's kind of, and then if I sit with that thing and then I've sung all the melodies possible for this whole thing, and then I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, how am I going to choose which one of those I prefer? Or then I start thinking, oh, which one are you going to prefer better? And then what if it changed like this and like this and like this, rather than just like halts my creative process.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot. Two games we're going to play. First one is your top five artists locally or internationally that you have yet to collaborate with, who you'd still like to collaborate with.
Sun-El Musician, Jimmy Nevis, locally, AKA.
Or internationally.
Or internationally.
Yeah.
Jeepers. There's thousands of those. I'd like to do a track with Wizkid. I'd like to do a track with, it changes every day.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, I feel like listening to a bit of like the old Usher, or I feel like getting, or like maybe Sting, you know?
Yeah.
Or be nice to write with like Adam Levine, not necessarily be on the same song, but to sit and write with him, who writes like the most catchy pop hooks, something similar to what I would do if you're doing this side, or Justin Timberlake, or like Timberland.
Now, the second game I'm going to play with you. Now, I know this will change every single time. If I ask this question to you in 5 minutes, if I ask you this question in an hour, 2 hours, or tomorrow, it'll be a different list. So, your top five songs by other artists, what would they be?
Yo. Right now.
Right now, in this moment.
Iris, Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
Ooh, Usher, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Brown, Then me in the middle of ecstasy, feel the madness. What's the name of it? Forever. I think it's called Forever.
Okay. Two more.
Sure. Pick any Eminem song. Eminem, Toy Soldiers.
Yeah.
Jimmy Nevis, Hot Boxing.
Cool. Nice one. Do you know the original Toy Soldiers?
If you played it, probably not.
It's by Martika. It's by a late 80s singer called Martika. So you must have a look into that.
Okay, so it's a sample.
Yeah.
Classic pop star.
Yeah, so it was number one in 1988-89 on the Billboard chart. So I'm giving you some homework to do. Google Martika with Toy Soldiers.
Okay.
Also a brilliant track. So you mentioned cassettes, you mentioned vinyls, CDs. Mm. I'm so grateful those are making a comeback because I love me a CD. Now, we've got these digital platforms in the world.
Why a CD? A CD is like a limited USB in my mind. A CD is like a limited USB. But with tapes and records, you get like there's a sonic that comes through on the sound that I prefer.
To answer your question, so for me, cassettes, I hated when they unraveled. They used to freak me out, and then you had to ravel them back up, and then it was a whole thing for those overseas listeners. Chadunt is a whole thing. It's Afrikaans, the whole thing in my mind. And then a record also, I just found this, even though I'm so delicate and I'm so careful, I just found they used to scratch so much easier than CDs. I'm like so gentle and I'm so careful. So I love myself the aesthetic of holding something, right? The booklets of, you know, having the pictures, the artwork and that. But now we've got these digital platforms. What are your thoughts of the way that now people are consuming music compared to what they did 10, 15, 20, 50 years ago?
Now it's like you're not really selective of what you're hearing. It's more like the apps are telling you what this is kind of thing you're going to listen to. And they're getting pretty good at it. And it's easy for consumers now. I mean, you don't even have to. There's less of a connection with, I like this band because this person who's singing it. It's now like, oh, this is a cuck song. I don't even know who's singing it. I've never seen anything about it, but just skip, you know, kind of thing. There's less appreciation of art behind the consumer now than there was back in the day. So I think that would be the negative side effect of what's going on now, as well as the pay that and the exploitation of artists, but we won't get into that.
Yeah. Hopefully that will be sorting itself out sometime.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the reason why the way the model of the has been changed in the industry is it's all understandable.
Well, I mean, you're right, because it's now people are so blasé about it. It's like before they'd have to go to shops, save that money, budget for that money each month, buy the CD, buy the tape, buy the record, get home. It's a journey, it's an experience, and it's aesthetic. It's a whole emotional, energetic, and energy exchange. Whereas now it's like, whatever, I'm not interested, push forward, push forward, push forward. So it's become, I feel from as an observer that so many people are now have with music, they are, what's the word? They don't take into account the amount of effort, energy, and creativity that you guys put into it, because it's like, we'll just skip. It's boring. You know, whereas previously that energy exchange of here's my money, here's the journey, here's the whole emotional experience of doing it, allowed the person to actually take that in and exchange some sort of thank you and gratitude for an appreciation for what you guys did.
100%. 100%. And I don't know, I feel like there is this sort of, the climate of music is reaching some sort of like tipping point where there is going to be something new and a change, kind of. I don't know how it's going to come about or what it's going to look like just yet, but I do think there is sort of a wager between the artistry world and the consumerism world and the performer. It's like it's becoming a thing of, there's too much hype and it's aesthetic involved with needing to break through or visually appeal, you know, and that's why you see these things like these extreme things like having to fake suicides or kill someone or be going to jail or doing like whatever. There's some extreme PR stunt that needs to roll out with every big release in order to catch the world's eye. So I mean, I suppose they used to do it that way back in the day, but it was just a little bit different.
So now, what is next for Kyle? What's next in the musical journey?
Oh man, we just released the track now by myself and Al Makuka. It's called Keep My Heart Safe.
Yep.
There's some new release coming up before the end of the year to take us through summer, and we're busy prepping off. We were working on a whole bunch of singles. We have about 30 songs on the wall that we're busy polishing up, and we had a hard drive crash and some technical things, so we're busy fixing that up. We've got all the stems and everything, but just the progress that we had is a little bit lost. So we're busy on working on that, but we'll definitely have the new music and album ready for next year.
Cool, looking forward to that. Now, yeah. The podcast is listened to throughout the world. Locally, awesome. The main listening audience is Australia, UK, America. As a final note to our listening audience, what would you like to say?
Yeah, thank you for your support, guys. We see you listening all over the world. I'll even show you. Let's see what we have to say here in Spotify. If I can go real quick and see we can see them. So on the top here is Germany. So if you're out there, shout out. We've got South Africa, second, United States, Switzerland, Austria. Let's see for Bring Back the Love, where you guys are showing love. United States, South Africa, Germany, United Kingdom, Canada. And to you guys, my expat, I know there's a lot of expats out in in Australia. Thank you so much for your love. And yeah, my name is Kyle Deutsch. Keep enjoying the music.
Thank you so much. This is Slaps Mind signing out with Kyle Deutsch.